Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Nick's Nuggets of Truth. If you're new, I want to encourage you to check out my website where you'll be able to download all kinds of free resources for your use in your home, for yourself, and of course for your ministry as well. And you can find that information at www.pastorvic.com or www.pastorvicsnuggets.com. Any case, let's get started. Now, many years ago, I started a Christian publication. It was a newsletter, and it was called The Christian Crier. Its purpose was to announce upcoming events or Christian events in the region that I lived in. So as a result, I became somewhat well-known in the area because of the publication. In any case, one time I was at a meeting of Christian men and women, and during a break time, I was talking with a group of people. Now, I want you to try and picture this. We were all wearing name tags identifying who we were. And when one of them heard that I was from a town called Hopewell Junction, he responded by saying, "Do you know a friend of mine? His name is Vic Torres. He does the Christian Crier newsletter." Now, what struck me was that I didn't know him, and yet he said I was his friend. I was so embarrassed for him that I actually put my hand over my name tag so that he wouldn't realize who I was. See, here's the case. He knew of me, but I didn't know him. He may have known about me, but we had no relationship. As Christians, we often ask the question, "Do you know Jesus?" When in fact, a more important question should be, "Does Jesus know you?" There's a major difference between knowing about someone and being known by that someone. The Apostle Paul knew the difference. Listen to what he says in Galatians 4:9. "But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage?" Now, in this verse, Paul is admonishing the new Christians to not return to their old forms of worship, worshiping those things which are not God. Now, he's speaking to believers because he refers to them as being known by God. It's not enough to know God. Our confidence should lie in knowing that he knows us. Now, I want you to take a look at a very powerful verse that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. Now, when I say this, you're going to remember this, because Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." So key. "But he that does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then Jesus will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now, from these verses, the individuals Jesus speaks about are followers of Christ in name only. See, they approach their Christianity in a ritualistic way. They know how to talk the talk, they dress right, they act right, but they really don't know Jesus himself. They know about him, just like that person said that he knew me at that meeting of Christian men and women, and I didn't have any idea who he was. So that begs the question, what does a real Christian look like? Well, we're going to take a look at the rest of Matthew 7, and I believe that it will give us some insight, some of the things that God is looking for in those who are called by his name. And as I said, Matthew chapter 7 has some pretty relevant instructions as to how it relates to being known by God. And it begins with, don't judge others. Now, I know that's so hard to do in the natural. And we have to learn how to not judge, because it does come so natural to the human, to humans in general. But we're warned not to judge others. And what's especially important is that we do not judge others until we have judged ourselves. You see, when we judge ourselves honestly, we often discover that we are in no position to judge others. Very much like the religious leaders who brought the woman caught in adultery to Jesus in John chapter 8. Just a little side note. It's interesting that they brought the woman to Jesus to be punished, when in fact the law stipulates that both the man and the woman should be brought, and they should be stoned to death. That's according to the book of Leviticus. Anyway, that's a little side note. Now, the hypocritical leaders, expecting Jesus to condemn the sinning woman to death by stoning as was prescribed by the law, instead, Jesus asked a simple question. Whoever is without sin, cast the first stone. And you know the story. One by one, the accusers withdrew and left Jesus and the woman alone. In John 8, verse 11, Jesus said to the woman, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." You see, instead of judgment, Jesus extended grace and mercy. As followers of Jesus Christ, we must learn to do the same. The second thing that Matthew teaches is that we're to keep asking and seeking and knocking. We're told that this is the way to reach the Father's heart. This is speaking of the fact that we should never, ever give up on the promises of God, especially when we're going through difficult times. You and I both know that God is never late, but He's never early. He is always on time. And in the natural order of things, we struggle with the fact that there are times that God does not seem to move fast enough in our difficult situations. However, we are to never lose heart. We must be persistent in coming before the Lord, making our petitions, our requests known to Him. And as we're doing that, we need to behave as one who knows that the answer is coming. The third aspect of Matthew that is pointed out to us is we find in Matthew 7:13. And it tells us what the path to life is, both in the present and in the future. And that it's sometimes difficult. As a matter of fact, it's often difficult. And yet we're told to enter the narrow gate because the wide gate leads to destruction. Very simply, what that means is that there are no shortcuts in God. We must not abandon our righteous standing with the Lord. That means that we're never resorting to lying and cheating and stealing or any unrighteous act in order to gain the advantage. We are called to be a people of integrity, and that means at any cost. Sure, the way of the world looks easy, and sometimes the demands that God puts on us seem to be difficult. But we need to recognize that His way is the best way because it will produce the fruit, the blessing that we're looking for. Then the fourth thing that we learn in Matthew chapter 7 begins in verse 15. And it warns that there are false prophets in the world. Now, that would include teachers, false prophets and teachers. This phrase means that there are those who intentionally try to deceive us, or because they lack knowledge, they lead us in the wrong direction. We're told to observe their fruit and that we shall know them by their fruit. This means that we need to watch them, not only when they're in public, because everyone behaves properly in public, but we need to find opportunities to observe them in private, in their personal lives. Many people act righteously when in public, but are very unrighteous in their private lives. How a person treats their family will tell you much about that person. And then we arrive at the relevant scripture, Matthew 7:21, and that's the one that I quoted to you before. That's where Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And again, pay special attention to verse 23. And it says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from you who practice lawlessness. You see, it's one thing to act like a Christian. It's another thing to be a Christian. A true Christian is one who has accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. That means he has surrendered his own will in order to do the will of the Father, just as Jesus did. To do the will of the Father means first and foremost to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And then comes the second part, and sometimes that's harder than you could imagine, that you would love others as you would have them love you. Now, this may seem difficult at times. It is difficult at times. But remember, a true believer has the Helper, the Holy Spirit of God, living in them. And the Helper is there to do just that, to help you live a godly life. And then Matthew chapter 7 concludes with a parable about two men who building on sand or the rock. And so the key to being known by the Lord is found in the following. And this begins in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. And as I said, it has to do with building on the rock. And I'm sure you know the parable of the two builders. One builder built a house on the sand. The other built a house on the rock. And Jesus said that the floods would come, the winds came, and then the winds blew the house down that was built on the sand. Whereas the one that was built on the rock, of course, withstood the storm. Now we know that Jesus is our rock and that we need to build our lives upon him. But the parable is really about hearing, that is knowing and doing what Jesus taught, not just being a hearer alone. You see, we're called to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Being a doer of the word is the kind of believer Jesus knows. James says in James chapter 1, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets about what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the law of love, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. The evidence that you are known by God is that you love God. This means that you're obedient to him to the best of your ability. Listen to what Jesus says in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, one just like me, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Loving God is a natural response of the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit in us is the evidence that you are known by the Lord. To love God means more than emotional feelings of love. The kind of love that God is talking about is what the Greek calls agape. Agape love is unconditional. It's the kind of love that God has for us. And as followers and disciples of Jesus, this is the kind of unconditional love that God responds to. Someone defined love as living your life for someone else's good. That's a pretty good definition. You see, the Lord only has good for you. That's because he loves you. As we like to say in church so often, God is good. He's good all of the time. We demonstrate our love for the Lord by blessing and glorifying him through our lives. Our words and deeds reflect the grateful heart that we have because we know the Lord knows us. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, but if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Remember the following from Matthew chapter 7. Don't judge others because Jesus knows you. Leave it to him. Keep asking, seeking, and knocking in all of your endeavors because Jesus knows you. When facing difficult choices, take the narrow way, the righteous way. You don't need shortcuts to success because Jesus knows you. Recognize other believers by their fruit, not just by their words. And you have that ability to recognize because Jesus knows you. His Holy Spirit lives in you, and he is the Spirit of truth, the discerner of truth. And build on the rock of obedience to the Lord. Why? Because Jesus knows you. You're in a relationship. You'll never have to worry that Jesus would say, I never knew you, because you are his and he is yours. I hope this message is a blessing to you, and I just want to pray a blessing over you right now. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over every situation, every circumstance that would come against us. And I pray provision, and I pray breakthrough, just a breakthrough in this moment for every person who listens or watches this message. Lord, that your breakthrough would break through to them. And Father, that they would know that they are known by you. And because of that, confidence, boldness, and faith would rise up to accomplish all that you've called them to do. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you the next time.